before Greg gets here, we'll do something that's a favorite of mine. Okay, I got a question for you guys. Which one is bigger, the blue or the red?
The blue.
Now which one's bigger, the blue or the red?
Red.
Okay, wait. Which one's bigger? Come on, the blue or the red?
Blue.
You guys got it? Okay. You know, guys, this is an optical illusion. They're actually the exact same size. And, you know, it's really trippy how easily our eyes can deceive us. And so, you know, there are many ways that we can be deceived.
I can't see it. It's not true, though.
Come on. Open your eyes, Greg. It's allowed. Okay. But it's very cool. And this is one way that you can start a gospel conversation. Just go, did you guys ever see this? Which one's bigger, blue or red? And you just, you know, and they'll get that. And it's just a handy tool to have. And so now that I have your attention, let me pray for us. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace, Lord. I thank you for your provision. I thank you for your sovereign hand, which works in each and every one of our lives, Lord, to draw us to you, to keep us in your graces, Lord, and to provide everything. I pray that you would use this time to encourage us in your word, to teach us your truths, Lord, and that you would be most honored at the end of this, and that we would be passionate about evangelism and desirous to do so. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as we begin, I'll call your attention to some fun stuff that I, you know, found just surfing the web. Okay, now, I know we cut out a tree, but do you think we could cut this one down? It's a giant crane that's meant for putting like swimming pools and stuff over a house, and it got unbalanced and it toppled over just like that, you know, 3-foot tree. And I figure you guys were so good at, you know, debris removal that I figured I'd ask the question. But no, that was a tough one. Then the next thing we got is, you know, Lake Jackson. How do you get around Lake Jackson? Okay, you got to have a different...
Is that what you're talking about,
this way and that way? Yep, this way and that way. You got to have a different GPS for every way. Okay. Texas Neighborhood Watch. Okay. My next door neighbor wants to ban guns. Their house is not armed. Out of respect to our neighbors, we will not use our guns for their protection. So, you know, I figured that was funny. Enjoyed that one. Okay, now on to something a little bit more serious. New revelation is popping up all over sidewalks, folks. Okay? And so, just check this one out. You know, dear Jehovah's Witnesses, these people are cool. No need to visit. Peace and love, God. Okay. And then something that I was expecting, you know, was some bigger mosquitoes. I heard they grow everything bigger in Texas, but...
You really don't think they're bigger here?
No.
I don't think they're going to be out.
Not yet.
Okay. They're just... Oh, my.
You know,
yes, okay. I did. I did know that.
And that is a big mosquito. He's two stories, isn't he?
Two stories. Nice.
What's his name? I forget his name. He has a name. Yeah.
So, you know, this is just some fun stuff about Texas. That's a centimeter. What? Where is that? I don't remember. The internet.
Well, that might have been a Texas mosquito.
Could have been. Nice.
If you want to see some big ones, you can go look for them.
Okay, that's fine. Well,
grass marshes out toward the beach.
Okay, I figured I'd just attract the mosquitoes. And so, you know, it just works out. Nice. Good times. Well, last week we looked at the biblical mandate for evangelism and, you know, how it's clear. We have this ministry of reconciliation. We can't get around it. If you want to get around it, you got to throw out the Bible to do that. Now, this week we're going to be talking a little bit about kind of the means of evangelism. And I want you guys to recall last week. I know it was all 7 days ago, and I sometimes have a short memory, so I totally understand. But it talked a little bit about the means last week in 2 Corinthians 5. And how are we to implore people to come to Christ? Second Corinthians 5:19. Uh-huh.
The word. I can't remember. It wasn't pleading. That wasn't the word.
It was begging.
Yeah. Like a
very good. Very good. We're to beg people. And this is one of the things that we're doing. And so with that in mind, we're going to be talking about kind of the evangelism means. And before we get into that specifically, I want to ask you guys a general question. What are the requirements for living? You know, I'm about to get stabbed here on a amusement park ride. And so what are the requirements for living? Oxygen. It's a good one. Without oxygen, we would all die. What else?
Water.
Food. It's great. Air conditioning.
Amen.
Texas.
Amen.
Amen. Definitely.
There's a temperature range.
Temperature. Yeah. Uh-huh. But there's stuff like that, you know. Oxygen, eating, drinking. I include such things as, you know, blood pumping through your veins. No blood means the oxygen and the food you eat isn't going to get to your muscles. Another thing I think of is brain functions. You know, I don't really think a vegetable is quite living. Some people disagree, and I'm totally fine with that. But so what happens when you don't have what you require for life? You die. You suffer. You're in pain. No action, totally. You die, and, you know, evidently I didn't have what was required for life on this ride because I was just about killed. I was only saved by the ride ending. Okay, now I want you guys to think a little bit more specifically. What are the requirements for being a Christian?
Knowing God.
It's great. Faith. It's very good. What else?
Becoming.
Okay. What'd you say?
Faith in the content of the gospel.
Right. Content of the gospel. Repentance. It's great. Do you guys think martyrdom, is that a requirement?
Like a requirement to be a Christian?
To be a Christian, yeah. Requirement for a Christian is martyrdom. More like a consequence. Okay, that's good. I put up Fox Book of Martyrs because I just couldn't figure out any other picture. But, no, I was thinking other things, you know, reading the scriptures. If you say you're a Christian, you got to get to know who Christ is. Prayer, communication with God, fellowship, these are requirements, but specifically, one of the major requirements that we have of being a Christian is, you know, repentance or this faith in the gospel. And so, you know, what is the, what do you have to know to be saved? Okay, don't everybody talk at once. Okay. Okay. No. It's good. That's good. What do you got to know to be saved? Yeah. Seriously. But what do you guys think? We're going back to grade school, okay?
Yeah.
You know. Okay. Totally. What you have to know. Okay. So you got to know the gospel, right?
Yeah.
You know, would that sum it up? Nice word. Okay, and since we're talking about the evangelism means, the gospel, I would term as Christianese. You guys know what Christianese is?
Like words that we use in the common, like in the church.
Yeah.
That other people might not know.
Okay, what are other examples of Christianese?
Saved.
Sin. It's a great one. Sin.
Hell.
Repentance.
Heaven.
Hell. Heaven.
Born again.
Totally. Those are great ones. And so one of the examples of Christianese is, what is the gospel? And the gospel is?
Propitiation.
Nice.
Everybody knows that word.
Yeah, I use that one every day. Very cool. But, you know, what is the gospel simply defined as? The good news, you know, just like the good news that a cure for something is found. I forget what it is. But, okay, so what are the components of the gospel? You know, what are the parts of it? You know, if the gospel is a giant puzzle, what are the pieces that would be put together? Okay. Okay. Good.
Kind of, you know, I guess, impartation is the word, but being imparted with life. God gives us his life.
Okay. That's good. Yeah. Okay. Grace, sin, repentance, imputation. Another good Christianese term. Yeah. Christ. What?
Paul states in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures.
Can you finish reading through verse 5?
And that he was seen by Cephas and by Joel.
Dude, that is what we call an excellent transition, folks. This is called God's sovereign hand of transition, okay? Totally. I mean, this is the fundamental definition of the gospel. And this comes in a very unique book. And, you know, when you read 1 Corinthians, this is a book of correction, you know, for all of you guys who have kids. You know, this is a book of, you know, if I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, you know, why are you causing division, you know? What's wrong with you guys? There's division in the church, you know, in chapters 1 through 3. there's, or 1 through 4, there's sexual immorality issues and, you know, sin issues as far as marriage. In chapters 5 through 7, there's, you know, freedom issues. You know, some say it is a sin to eat triple chocolate cake. Okay? Others say it's a sin that you don't eat triple chocolate cake. Okay? And so, you know, you've got these corrections. Huh? Yes. You know, you've got these corrections about, you know, freedoms in these chapters. And then you go into gifts. And when you're talking about gifts, how do they function? What's the importance? You go chapters 12 through 14 talking about these gifts. And then right after this, he begins to talk about, you know, orderly worship. He begins to talk about the gospel and the resurrection. And this is something that he needed to correct in the Corinthian church. He began this letter saying, hey, you guys have everything, but you're really messed up. And you're messed up with regards to the gospel. And so that's why Paul has to come in here and in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 5, really, excuse me, lay out a, you know, definition of the gospel that, you know, I think that we should all have, that we should all use. And so, you know, what is of primary importance to Paul? I love it in verse 3, you know, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received. And so what does Paul say? You know, after all of this stuff, you know, he's just corrected them in 14 chapters on, you know, a wide variety of issues, divisions, you know. Hey, I like Clint. Hey, I like Brian. Hey, you know, I'm a follower of Greg. Okay, he's corrected them on the chocolate cake issue and how that divides churches. He's corrected them on gifting, you know. My gifting is to eat the chocolate cake. Okay, that's my gifting. And, you know, what are the gifts in the church? And he spends all of that, and then he comes to this statement, and he says, okay, of primary importance, I want you to know this. What does he say?
Christ died for us.
Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Totally. He says that of primary importance is the gospel, right? You know, you guys don't miss anything, you know? How do you guys read a book, you know? You read the first sentence, and then you read the last part, because you're going to remember the very beginning, and you're going to remember the very end, and all the stuff in the middle, you got about a 50-50 chance, or at least I do. But right at the end, Paul goes, hey, here's the gospel, and this is what is important. And so what are the key components of the gospel that Paul mentions? In here, and just, you know, just shout them out. Death for sin. The resurrection. Definitely. Christ. It's a great one. Our sin. Another key component. I mean, you guys got pretty much all of them. There's a couple more that I'm looking for. And, you know, was Christ's burial important? You know? And, about the resurrection? What about his appearance to the 12 and others? It's kind of important. We'll talk, let's just talk right now about, you know, sin. And what we're going to do is we're going to do this kind of in two parts. Okay? First of all, how do you communicate, or why is sin important in the gospel?
Because it separates us from God.
Sin separates us from God, totally. It makes the gospel good. Can you explain that one?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not a sinner, there's no need for a savior. So,
definitely. Totally. Okay, and by sin, what do you guys mean by sin? Like, this is the question. How do you communicate sin?
Rebellion.
Rebellion.
Well, there's two kinds of sin.
Treason. Okay.
Sins of omission and sins of commission.
Okay. I'm not a big, well, I am a big word guy, but what is omission?
Would be anything that you do that violates God's law, and a sin of omission is anything that you don't do that you're supposed to do according to God's law.
Okay. So how do I communicate that to somebody? You just come up to them and tell them, hey, guess what? You've got two things wrong with you. You got sins of omission, you got sins of commission. You want to repent? I mean, it's totally true, but it's like, how can I communicate sin?
I would probably say, basically, God asks us to do things, and if we don't do that,
okay.
We don't live up to what he asks us to do. That.
I think one way to do it is to approach people where they're at, in the sense that, why are you in the state you're in?
Mm-hmm.
And get them to analyze that. I mean, a Buddhist would say that, he's in the state that he's in because he has self-identity, and it causes craving, and craving leads to suffering, and therefore I suffer.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with sin. And so, getting people to recognize that there's a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
What is the real problem? It's not just that you're a self-identity. It's that you have a will bent against God.
Right.
And that sin has actually separated you from God, from people around you, from yourself, even from your own environment.
Okay.
All the issues in life that are causing us struggles and stuff go back to sin.
Okay. So how would you tell somebody who says, "Hey, I'm a pretty good person. I don't think I have a sin problem." How would you talk to me?
Have you ever lied?
Well, a little white lie, but that's.
Well, God's standard is perfection.
Okay.
Perfect, therefore I am perfect.
Okay.
So even the smallest white lie is still a sin.
Okay. How else? I could give you the answer of it's a cultural construction.
Exactly.
And it's not.
That, but
yeah, but
well,
it's.
Or like you could give an illustration.
Okay.
Like
what?
Like I think of the famous omelet illustration, where you would say, say I was to have you to come over to my house for breakfast,
mm-hmm.
and I was going to fix you some omelets, and I'm fixing the omelets, and I'm going to put 6 eggs in your omelet, and I'm. What? Yeah. So, and then I have 5 good eggs and 1 is rotten. Now, if I mix that up and put that one rotten egg in there and try to serve that to you, are you going to eat that?
Depends on how hungry I am. But
probably not. You know,
probably
even
not.
Though there's five good eggs, there's still that one bad egg. And it's the same way with sin. You know, that one little sin, you
okay.
know, makes it sinful throughout.
Definitely. I think one of the things that I would encourage you guys to do is to, there is a standard, and that standard is perfection. It is holiness, but you could also say that a standard that's recognized almost universally is that of the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just talking with them through that. Have you ever lied? Have you ever stolen anything? Have you ever murdered somebody? No. Not as, excuse me, I have yet to talk to anybody who's ever pulled out a gun or a knife and shot somebody. But has, what? Yeah, you know, most people are, it's going to be rare you find those guys. But murder as Jesus defined it, you know. If you hate somebody, you've murdered them. Adultery, oh, you can find many people who've committed adultery. Whether they'll own up to it or not is a whole other question. But, you know, as Jesus defined adultery, if you look at a woman or if you look at a man with lust, as Jesus defined it, if you look at a woman with lust, committed adultery, brought it out. Hey, if you look at anybody, I've talked with gay people before. So, you looked at a man with lust? Yes. Okay. You know, that's worse than adultery. But... you know, that's the same thing. Honoring your father and mother all the times. You know, blasphemy, idolatry. You know, all of these commandments lead to specific questions that you can show people that they've sinned. You know, because the Ten Commandments are God's standard. And so the key is to get them to recognize a specific offense. So how do you communicate sin in general? You go, hey, you've offended a holy God who has this standard. But I haven't. Okay, no, you have. And then you just talk through that. You know, what does that mean? The next one that I want to make sure is we hit is Christ died. You know, Christ's death is a key component of the gospel. And why is it a key component of the gospel? Takes care of the sin.
Romans says that there's a law of sin and death.
Mm-hmm.
And once they are understanding that they've sinned, that they know they have to know the penalty.
Right.
There's a consequence.
Mm-hmm.
The consequence is death.
Definitely.
But Christ obviously pays the price for us, and so it takes a consequence.
Definitely. You know, Christ's death. I love Hebrews, you know. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins.
Oh, come on, it's Christianese.
Yeah.
Permission.
You know, I don't even know what... Gosh, I'm lying all the time. This is ridiculous. But, you know, Christ's death satisfied the payment. Now, how do you communicate that? You know, why did Christ have to die? I mean, this is a key part of what is the means for evangelism. You know, if we can't get the gospel right, we might as well not even go out. It's like remedial learning. But just thinking about it, you know, Christ's death, how would you communicate why Christ had to die? And then what his death did. Regan, come on. Okay.
I think it's because
you got something.
It's basically we had to die. the way, you know, Romans 16.
So, right.
You know, God says, if you sin, you have to die. And so Christ came and he basically took that on himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess in one sense, you could say, you know, did he have to? Well, he did in order for us to be saved.
Totally.
I think he chose to. I don't think he had to on his own. I think he chose to do that for us. But he certainly had to for us to be saved.
Right.
And also God.
If they're struggling with the idea that sin, the consequence of sin is death, first of all, Romans says they already know that it is, and they know that those who commit sin are worthy of death.
Mm-hmm.
And this is clear when we go, you know, people go watch a movie, and there's a bad guy in the movie, and they're just waiting for him to get killed. You know, I mean, it's just, you know, he deserves to die for his acts, and that's the resolution.
Right.
We all know.
Mm-hmm.
He's worthy of death. And they don't get upset when he gets killed. And, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
Definitely.
And so.
That's right.
What does that have to do with
well,
no,
they're saying that they know in the movie, when they watch a movie, that sin is worthy of death.
Right.
Oh,
there,
I
it's
see what you're saying.
What,
okay.
Why Jesus had to die was there are consequences for sin. You know, it's just like there are consequences. We're flying down, you know, business 288 at 75 miles an hour, you're going to get a ticket. Okay? Okay.
Are both of y'all
serious? No. I haven't gotten a ticket and I haven't gone 75. But I know that the speed limit's 50 and 75 puts you 25 over the speed limit.
Part, okay. We were thinking the other part.
Oh.
There's like four roads that are called 288.
Business 288. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was like, business 288 is 50. 75.
You can go way over 75.
I was like, no way. No way. I'm like, okay. So, nice. So, you know, there are consequences for going 25 miles an hour over the speed limit. You know, that might even be reckless driving. I don't know how it is in Texas. That would be reckless driving in California. And that would be two tickets. One for speeding and one for reckless driving. But, anyways, there are consequences for what we do. And in order to pay the fine, you either, you know, if I got caught speeding, I got to go pay the fine. And then I got to go do traffic school so that it's not on my record. Or if it's reckless driving, it's automatically on your record, and yeah, I gotta wait 7 years. But anyways, not that I know that from experience.
I didn't ask you.
No, I have friends that know that from experience. But Christ had to die because a payment was required. You can't get away from the consequences. And so Christ's death is required. The judge has to have, you know, has to be able to enforce the penalty. And that's why Christ had to die. And so Christ's death was required. And how do we communicate that? You know, consequences for sin. Just go, hey, you're standing in front of a judge. You got a $10 million fine. You got $10 million in your back pocket. I don't know. Well, I don't know anybody that has $10 million in their back pocket. But, you know, you were guilty. Then Christ came along and he paid that fine. He said, I got the $10 million. And I paid it. And now the judge is free to show you mercy, to show you grace. And so that's why Christ's death was so important. Okay. And the next thing, Christ was buried. Why is that important?
He really died.
Give it up. Okay, you know, he really had to die. This isn't a fictitious, you know, thing. This isn't a figment of the apostles' imagination. You know, the Romans were good at death, and they knew what they were doing. And they said, you know, I'm putting you in the grave because you really died. Now, Christ rose. Why is that important? Okay. Now,
We also had to be united with him in his resurrection because we're united with him in his death. And for us to be resurrected, we had to be resurrected.
Yep. So how do we communicate that? No, I skipped how do we communicate death because I think you guys can communicate death. And he died. Just like the animal I hit on the road the other day. I didn't do that, but another example. Okay? Christ rose. How do we communicate the resurrection?
Some people are going to want evidence as to where you go that route, and then other people are just going to want to understand the significance of it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that Christ's resurrection is glorified, or at least definitely glorified.
Definitely.
You know, it's new life. It's, you know, this is a new birth. And for us, and so people, you know, can begin to understand the resurrection in terms of that you're, you know, you die with Christ and you're raised to new life. This is what God's after.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, how do you communicate that not using Christianese? And why is the resurrection important? I'm following dead president. Nice. Okay, let me fulfill the scriptures. Okay, that's very good.
Well, and Christianity is the only religion whose leader is still alive.
Uh huh. And why is that important?
It's real.
Yeah. Okay. Totally. If.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Right.
He really is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Embodies his personhood, who he is, that he's fully man, fully God.
Right.
Like the Romans 1 says that he declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And by his resurrection, he demonstrates that he can fulfill the promises that he made, that he is who he claimed to be.
Right. You know, it's like if I'm sitting here. You guys have never seen me before, never seen me stand up or anything, and I go, hey, I'm tall. Okay? You guys have never seen me stand up. How do you know if I'm tall or not? Well, when I stand up, and, you know, you see, you go, oh, you know, he's tall. The same way with Christ. Everything that he claimed, he said, I'm going to rise again. He said, I am God. He said this. And what did he do? He rose again. He showed himself to be God. How do we communicate that? It's the same way. You give him an example that talks about how, you know, I use the tall one because it just kind of fits normally.
In fact, you know, I could say I'm gorgeous, and then one day see me, they would be confirmed in that knowledge.
confirmed.
Yeah. You know. You could say that I'm really reflective. And they would believe that one.
Shiny.
Shiny. I glow. I have this glowing, you know, this glow about me. So, you know, this is important. Christ rose. And now I love this one, because you're going to run into this. Why is it important that Christ had to appear to, you know, Cephas, and then to the 12? Then he appeared to more than 500 at one time, most of whom have fallen asleep, or most of whom are still alive, although some have fallen asleep. I love that little clause, because he's saying basically, if you don't believe that Christ rose, go ask Bill down on the street corner. Okay, go buy a fish from him, but then also ask him, you know, did Christ rise? He's like, yeah, of course, you know. It's like at the end of the summer, you know, was Benjamin here? I don't know. Go ask Lance. Go ask Greg. Go ask Kurt. You know, go ask Clint. Go, you know, they saw him. Yeah. Yeah, totally. And so, you know, why do we communicate this? Because he really did it. If he, you know, it would be one thing if only the 12 apostles saw, oh, yeah, we stole the body, hid it in a different grave. You know, he's risen. We saw him. Okay, great. But this is, you know, over 500 guys who've seen him. And they're still around. So it's important that Christ appeared to many. And then that brings us to, you know, kind of the accumulation of all of this. How do we communicate salvation? Which is, how do we communicate the gospel? Which, you know, is the entire means of evangelism, is that ability and that communication of the gospel we just talked about. So, you know, summarize and apply. Pretend like you came up to me, handed me this man card.
Oh, are those the official man cards?
Yes. No.
Here,
give it to your husband.
He has one, but I haven't seen his yet.
Okay, give it to your husband. No, you need to read the first line of it on the back. Because if he does something girly, you need to punch his man card. So, anyways, you handed me the man card. I go, okay, I want to know about this gospel that's talked about. How are you going to communicate salvation to me?
Can we use Christian stuff or not?
No.
Can we use scripture?
Yep.
Okay. Well, I think I would use Romans 10:9-10.
Okay.
You know, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. With the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation.
Okay.
So it's a...
What does it mean to confess?
To repent of your sin. But you can easily repent.
Admit.
Say. Acknowledge. Yeah, but this is what we're talking about, okay? You know, we understand the framework of the gospel, and that's why we looked at this passage specifically, because it has the gospel in it, you know? Talking about sin, talking about Christ's death, talking about Christ's burial, talking about Christ's resurrection, talking about Christ's appearance. You know, if you can do that, you can share the gospel with people. You know, it's only 5 points, right? Hold up your hand. Okay. We all got 5 fingers, right? Now, if you were 4-fingered, it'd be a little bit harder. But you got 5 fingers. So you got sin. You got Christ's death. You got Christ's burial. You got Christ's resurrection. You got Christ's appearance. Okay? And that, all of those, as you just walk through people and explain to them, that'll bring about, you know, the explanation of salvation in that communication. One thing I want to encourage all y'all, I love, and this is like an aside note, you get this one for free, okay? I love y'all in Texas because you got the word y'all, okay? It's a wonderful thing. California, we've got you. And you don't know if I'm talking about you or you. You know, it just doesn't work. But in Texas, you got y'all, okay? So y'all know this, and y'all here, and y'all need to really make sure that people understand what sin is. Because without an understanding of sin, the rest of the gospel doesn't make sense. And so if you spend, you know, 90% of the time talking with somebody about sin, that's great. If you never get to any other part, if they understand sin, okay, that's where they're at. But if they don't understand sin, it doesn't make, you know, doesn't help them at all that Christ died. You know, Romans 10, 9 and 10, if we confess with the mouth of Jesus God, yeah, but I'm not a sinner, so why do I need to, you know, confess? Why do I need to repent, whatever that means, you know? Why do I need to? And so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or just not really need to say.
Yeah.
Everybody makes mistakes.
But yeah, well, that's just it. It's a mistake. It's not a sin. And so we have all of these things that we're talking about. And remember, you got your 5 points. What are they? Sin. Christ died, burial, resurrection, and appearance. You guys got it. Okay, so if you ever get lost, you know, just look down at your hand. Okay, I'm on. Which one am I on? I've totally done that before. But my problem is I have way too many things that come out in 5, so I'm like, what am I talking about? You know, is this the 5th step in the recipe? Is this the whatever? But we've got that. And I want to encourage you guys, if you want to come witnessing and come and practice, we have plenty of tools from Optical Illusions. And the tools that I have are the ones that I like to use. And they're my favorites. You know, the Optical Illusions man card works good for any man. Doesn't really work for women. But billion-dollar bills, this is a unisex card, okay? Works for men and women. And women want to spend it, and the men go, man, I need to get this for my wife. But it has the gospel along the back. We've got a whole bunch of these IQ test cards, and they're all on the back. These are great ways to start a conversation about the gospel. And about things like that. If you want to come, we're going to be going this Thursday at 6:30. We're going to meet at the mall in the food court area. And then we're going to go and talk to a whole bunch of folks at the mall. If you're totally terrified, you should come. Because I got a secret for you guys. I'm still scared every time I go out. You know, like I said before, it's the little lady terrifies me the most. Absolutely, you know, start shaking in my pants. But it's okay because God is faithful and God is the one who's bringing all of this about for His honor and for His glory. And let me end with a quote from Charles Spurgeon. Okay, it says, "Soul winning is the chief business of the Christian minister. Indeed, it should be the main pursuit of every true believer. We should each say with Simon Peter, 'I go a fishing.'" And I don't think I quoted that one right. "And with Paul, our aim should be that I might by all means save some." This is our chief pursuit as a believer, is the proclamation of the gospel. And I knew I typed it up there because I was reading it. But let me pray for us. If you have any questions, let me know. If you want to take some of these at home, ladies, if you ever go for a walk in the park, take some of these. Hand them out to the ladies you walk with. Hand them out to the people you meet in the park. Guys, man cards work great at work. And then everything else, I've got a whole grip of them in the back. So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your sovereign hand, which opens people's eyes to the truth, Lord. It is not luck nor chance nor man's doing that will save him, but is your hand of grace, Lord. And you have chosen to use us as ministers of reconciliation, Lord, to beg with people to be saved, to command people to repent, to turn from their ways, Lord. I pray for each of our hearts, Lord, that you would challenge us in this, that you would help us to grow, that we would be vocal proclaimers of the gospel of your grace. I pray for those who we talk to, Lord, that you would work in their hearts, that you would save them, Lord. There are few things that cause us to rejoice more than the salvation of the lost, Lord. And yet we look forward to rejoicing with the angels in heaven over your mighty acts in the life of people as you save them in Clute, in Lake Jackson, all around this area, Lord, at our work, at our places of work, Lord. I pray all of these things in Jesus' name.